Tony Sanders Outdoors is brought to you by Sportsman's Warehouse, 153 and Lee Highway, the great indoors for those who love the great outdoors. By East Brainerd Lumber and Supply Company, your hometown building materials supplier since 1947. By Firestone Complete Auto Care at Northgate Mall. Tony has relied on them for over 20 years, and you should too. By Rodney Allen and State Farm Insurance. Like a good neighbor, Rodney Allen is there. Auto, home, and all your financial needs. By Remington Trail Stakes. They're called Trail Stakes for a reason. By the ChattanoogaFishingForum.com. All the information you need to catch that lunker fish. By Randy Fairbanks CPA. CPAs are not just for tax season, they are for all seasons. By Secret Weapons Lures. Do you have a secret weapon in your tackle box? Check out secretweaponlures.com. By Blowing Springs Kennel, your gun dog training and boarding headquarters. Go to blowingspringskennel.com for more information. And by Midwest Outdoors, the new publisher of Tennessee Valley Outdoors. And now, the number one show for outdoor information and entertainment, Tony Sanders Outdoors, with Tony Sanders and Steve Anderson.
Good morning, Chattanooga area. Tony Sanders Outdoors is live on the air from the banks of the beautiful Tennessee River right here in downtown Chattanooga. Good morning, Mr. Anderson.
Good morning, Mr. Sanders.
How are you today?
It's early. And I know it's been early now for a long time.
Say, but, not any earlier than it's been last year.
But for today, it just seemed like awfully early. It just seemed like no one was out this morning. I mean, thank goodness, but it just seemed empty.
I didn't see anybody.
I know.
Normally I see boats. Normally I see people, headed out doing whatever with jet skis and boats and four-wheelers and nothing.
I can't understand why they wouldn't be out early fishing today. It's not hot. It's pretty nice. Humid, but it's nice compared to what it has been, but just seemed like it was awfully empty this morning. And if anyone is going out right now, 267-1023, let us know. You don't have to tell us where.
Yeah, we've discovered that fishermen won't say where they're going.
That's right.
Hunting season's not far away either.
And school. I think everyone's kind of... I've heard this all week long. I'm spent out. I bought this and I bought that. And I don't know. I just think maybe they might be just finally crashing on a Saturday and saying, well, okay, I'm just going to relax today. Maybe not. Because there's a lot going on this weekend.
Oh, there's a whole lot going on. And don't forget, it's tax-free weekend. It's my understanding they've limited it some compared to what they've done in the past. But I don't know for sure. Not buying for school, so I haven't really paid attention to that. But I know that you can go to our good buddies at 153 and Lee Highway, Sportsman's Warehouse, and stock up on clothes and stuff. And they have a lot of great clothes there. They have we don't ever talk about the clothing section, but really, when you walk into the store, the right three quarters of the store is either clothes or shoes, and they've got great stuff and great shoes and great clothing. And matter of fact, I'm wearing a shirt from there, a Columbia fishing shirt, and these are so great during the summertime.
Wait a minute, you got that at Sportsman's?
Of course I did.
Well, see, I wondered where you got it, because I think the image of Sportsman's is that you got camouflage all the time.
Yeah,
but that is not a camouflage shirt. That's a nice shirt.
Yes, and this is. It's a Columbia brand fishing shirt. I love them. I don't ever wear them fishing. I have other fishing shirts I wear, but this is they look good and they're comfortable. It's that kind of that dry, I don't know, whatever they call that stuff that wicks away moisture. And when it's, when it's 100 degrees, this is nice.
Wow.
And, but they have a lot of clothes. My wife's got hard to fit feet, and we get shoes there all the time because they have different shoes that she can wear. So we got a caller already. Let's go talk to Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, I'm out and about always.
You're delivering donuts?
Oh yeah, started out about 2 in the morning.
You've never brought Steve any donuts.
No, he has once.
Oh, it's right, he did. That's
right.
But
let's not start it again.
Yeah.
But, Tony, I need to talk to you about doing some hunter safety course.
Okay.
Me and my son are going to get started.
So
you can you call me after the show?
I can. I'm 99% sure I've got your number, Steve. But I tell you what I'll do is I'll put you on hold and let Nathan get the number so I know for sure I have it.
Okay.
And but yeah, I'll give you a call. But now there's actually a couple of courses you need to know about. There is one that starts. Actually, no, it's already started. That's going on at Calvary. I think it started last week. But there is a CD course that's going to be taught by a good friend of mine, Mark Hittis, out at Silverdale Baptist Church on the 27th of August.
Okay.
And that's where you do the coursework online. I call it a CD course, but it's actually online now. But you do the coursework online and go through all that, and then you go for one day and you go through the hunter education course.
Oh, okay.
And that's right. That's unfortunately that's free hunting day, but in reality, that's probably not that big of a deal because I don't know many people want to hunt in August anyway. But but that's probably the CD course is probably one of the most flexible ones because you can do the coursework, you know, getting ready for the actual classroom day, and then you just spend one day. A regular course is 4 days.
Oh, okay.
So that's a good way to go. If you've got any computer literacy at all, that's a great way to go.
Okay.
And then traditional courses, there's just not many traditional courses taught. I was going to teach one and had some scheduling conflicts and didn't teach one this year, but there's just not that many traditional courses taught anymore.
All righty. That computer one sounds good to me.
Oh, definitely. And if you'll go to tnwildlife.org, you'll see all the courses in the area that talk about, or all the courses. We are Region 3 for TWRA. If you go onto the Hunter Education site, Region 3, you can find every course that is being taught.
Oh, okay.
Steve, I want to congratulate you. You are a wealth of knowledge. Tony, yeah. I don't know if you know this or not. I follow Mr. Ricketts on Facebook. Steve, I would like for you to show everyone that you can hold your nose and hum. Can you?
No.
Okay. It can't be done. I swear to goodness, he posted on there. He said, you tried, didn't you? You cannot hold your nose and hum.
Can you not?
No.
We'll see. I learned something new.
That's it.
The value of Facebook.
Hey, we got into a mess of catfish the other night, though.
Did you really? Where at?
Right there at the log.
Oh, okay. Were you fishing on
the bottom? Real good.
Were you fishing on the bottom?
Yeah, with minnows and dead ted.
Well, anything that stinks, right?
Yep.
Now, do you keep them and eat them?
Nah, we do sometimes. We threw all these back.
The Benny Hall, who's going to be doing a show here before long, actually taught me how to fillet a catfish, much like you do a deer. And, man, it was so good. You basically cut the back straps out just like you would a deer, and you don't get any of that fishy taste. I mean, it's the widest. It's as wide as a sheet of paper. It was amazing. I did, because I've always heard the big catfish, you don't really want them or whatever. Man, this was good stuff.
Huh.
So, next time I see you, I'll show you that. It's actually a pretty cool little trick. And, I mean, you just cut the backs out. It's just, and it is just as wide as a sheet of paper.
That sounds like a good idea.
Well, I thought it was, and it sure tasted well, I can tell you that.
All right.
Steve,
I'll check those out. And
okay. I'm going to put you on hold, make sure I've got your number, and I'll give you a call after the show.
All right.
All right, Steve, thank you.
267-1023, and you can be the second caller today.
Now, hey, Nathan.
Okay.
I'll.
Yeah.
So we have tickets to give away.
Yes, we do. And I think it's to Nashville, isn't it?
Yeah. We are going to give away. We have some tickets to give away to the big Bass Pro Land and Wildlife Expo that's going on in Nashville next week. And how do we want to do this? I mean, I've just got a limited pair of tickets or limited numbers of tickets. They're in pairs, so you can take somebody with you. The event is next Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And next Saturday night at 7 o'clock.
Is a concert, a conservation dinner. I have one pair of tickets for that.
Wow.
So what I think we'll do is we will... Nathan, should we just put everybody in the drawing if they can go? If you can screen them and ask them if they can go and want to be in the drawing, what we'll do is we'll take everybody's name, first come, first serve. Okay. If we don't get a few people that say they can go, then you will get the tickets. If we get more than the pairs of tickets I have,
then we'll draw.
But what we will do is if you are going, we have a pair of tickets to the dinner and concert on Saturday evening at 7 p.m. I know Foxworthy's going to be there.
Who else? Craig Morgan.
Craig Morgan, the singer, country singer, is going to be there. They're going to be performing. And then dinner and the whole bit. So we've got those as well.
You might be a redneck if you miss this now, because this is going to be a good show.
So what we'll do is if you want in on that, and because we're going to actually have some people calling in today, so we're going to be tied up quite a bit. So Nathan, I guess what we'll
What we could do is just take all the callers in the 5 o'clock hour.
And then
cut it off, because then that will teach you to listen to the whole show.
Wow.
Get up at five bells.
We may think about that one. But if you are interested in going, this is to the Bass Pro Shops Land and Wildlife Expo at the Gaylord Opryland Center in Nashville, Tennessee, next week. This week, actually, this coming week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I think I'm gonna go over on Sunday, but you can get in on that and draw, and we will draw and pick you out and provide you with free tickets, thanks to the good friends over there at the Land and Wildlife Expo and Tony Sanders Outdoors. Mm-hmm. That shall be a lot of fun. And then for the conservation dinner and stuff, we'll draw for that if you want to go. And I tell you what, let's go ahead and take a break now, since we got Todd on the line. And Todd, you hang on. We are going to take our breaks, pay our bills, and when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit of controversy at one of the, I guess it's the second largest public land area in Tennessee, the Catoosa Wildlife Management Area. So when we come back, we'll be talking about hog wars, as Richard Sims calls it. We'll be right back.
Have you seen the little piggies crawling in the dirt?
Tony Sanders Outdoors. Okay. Who is it?
Beatles.
Okay.
From the White Album.
I thought.
Which I had secreted in my breast pocket.
Okay, very good. Little piggies.
All right, we are going to get into something that is kind of interesting. I'm going to be bringing online here in just a second our caller, our guest from up in the area. And don't forget, you can call in 267-1023. And if you want to get in on the drawing to go to Nashville next weekend, pair of tickets. So you can get in free, and then one pair of tickets to the conservation dinner and concert. We'll be giving those away later in the day.
Well, now, if somebody wanted to weigh in on what we're going to be talking about, they can do that as well, too, can't
absolutely,
they?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. All right, let's bring Todd up. Todd, are you there?
Sure am, Tony.
Hey, this is Todd Ratterman, who is from Cookeville, Tennessee, I believe. Todd, is that correct?
That's correct.
He is... gained some notoriety here in Chattanooga area thanks to three articles I think that Richard Sims has written, and I spoke to Todd yesterday and asked him to come on the show, and I'm glad he did, because there is a little bit of controversy going on, and I guess the largest wildlife management area, second largest public land access area in Tennessee, and that is the Catoosa Wildlife Management Area. Now, Todd, before we get into what's going on, as Richard called it, the hog wars, actually that was attributed to somebody. Somebody else coined it that. But tell everybody where Catoosa is, because this is an 80,000-acre wildlife management area. It's not a small area. To put it in perspective, the one that we have here locally, the large one, Prentice Cooper, is 23,000 acres. So this thing's huge. This is four times Prentice Cooper. This is a big area. Now, Todd, I know you were up there near it at Cookeville, but exactly where does Catoosa encompass?
Right. Catoosa Wildlife Management Area is in three different counties. It's Cumberland, Morgan, and Fentress counties. Basically, the hunts there are draw hunts. There are a couple of open hunts, but the most popular hunts are drawn quota hunts. Catoosa is just north of, at least closest to me, just north of Crossville.
Okay.
And when you put in for those drawn hunts, they're basically divided into two areas, and that's Genesis, what's known as Genesis, and Bicolor. But when you put in for these quota hunts, you're able to hunt the entire area, which is about 80,000 acres.
Okay. Now, in talking to Richard yesterday, and I'll be honest with you, I've been to Catoosa a few times, but it's never been one that I've come up there and hunted. But one of the things that I found interesting when talking to Richard yesterday, he says that was kind of the allure to putting in to Catoosa. And if I'm not mistaken, I just you know, of course, we just had our where we applied for the draws. I think each hunt was like 800 or 900 people. I mean, it was a very large hunt on the draws.
Correct. They are pretty large number of hunters in the area at one time.
And one of the lures to Richard, anyway, was the fact that you go up there and deer hunt, but also had a chance at taking the hogs. And the other thing is they have forever promoted hog hunting up at Catoosa.
Yes, as a matter of fact, not only have they promoted it, the TWRA has actually released hogs into the area up until just, about 6 or 7 years ago. They were actually getting trapped hogs from the Smoky Mountains and releasing them into the Catoosa Wildlife Management Area.
Okay, so they've released hogs, they've promoted hunting in the Catoosa area, and probably brought in a lot of people from outside the areas to hunt. A lot of non-residents probably coming in there to hunt, I would imagine, over the years. And then, and if any of this is incorrect, Todd, please correct me. Basically, they made a decision at some point in the very recent past to eradicate the hogs. And, I mean, there's no other way to put it. They're wiping them out, or trying to.
Correct. And that decision was made on May 19th. So just a little background on that. What the TWRA did, specifically, it's Daryl Ratajak with the TWRA. They made the conscious decision not to include wild boar hunting in the season setting limits. And again, that happened at the Tennessee Wildlife Resource Commission meeting on May 19th. And just to back up for 1 second here,
sure.
they actually haven't canceled all the boar hunting at Catoosa. If you're deer hunting there on one of the drawn hunts and you happen to see a wild hog, currently you are still able to shoot one.
Okay.
But they did cancel the dog hunt at Catoosa. In past years, and past recent years anyways, they've had a three-day hunt where you were allowed to bring in dogs and use dogs to hunt them. Now, that was completely canceled for this upcoming season.
Now, what was the purpose of canceling that? Did they give a reason?
Yeah, there's actually two reasons. And the main reason behind canceling boar hunting, basically statewide, is that they're modeling their season setting for boar after Kansas. And the theory behind that is that some hunters, very, very few hunters, are releasing hogs into the wild for the increased opportunities to hunt. Now, admittedly, they have admitted that this has happened very, very few times. As a matter of fact, they could only name two times to me in the last 10 years that they know this has happened. But at the same time, I was only one of two people at the meeting in opposition to this.
Okay.
You know, and part of the reason for that is May 19th falls in the middle of the week. You know, most of us have to earn a living. You know, so while most people are at work, they're making these decisions without us. You know, it was a fairly lightly attended meeting.
Okay. And you're not going to get any argument. I think they ought to hold those where people can get there and, you know, even in the evenings or on weekends or something other than in the middle of the week. I agree.
Absolutely, they should. You know, I mean, how can people be involved in the decision making, you know, if they have to be at work? I mean, it's hard to be able to make a living and be in Nashville, you know, in the middle of the week all at the same time.
Oh, sure. And I mean, I'm sure you're like most of us. I know I do this. I'll save vacation for hunting. I don't necessarily want to take a day off to go argue a point. I would rather use it to hunt something.
And
there's only so many days in a week or in a year that you can take off.
Exactly. And on top of that, you know, there's a true disconnect, I think, between what people feel like they can do, you know, in the political process. Because the fact is, and even the TWRC members, that's the Tennessee Wildlife Resource Commission members, admitted that, you know, they go out to eat with these guys, they have to deal with them all the time, and it's, you know, they only get to see us. I mean, these meetings, you know, only occur a few times a year, so in most cases, they don't even know who we are, and frankly, they don't care about our opinions. And on top of that, this year was kind of odd, and it's one of the other reasons I feel that they pushed it, in that the commission members are appointed by the governor in most cases. Some of them are de facto members by their job. In other words,
right.
You know, Bill Haslam is one of the commission members. Of course, the governor rarely, if ever, shows up. But simply being the governor makes him a member.
Right.
Most of the members are appointed by the governor. Well, this year being the election year where Mr. Haslam was elected, he had his appointees out there, but they were unable to vote because they hadn't yet been approved on May 19th. They hadn't been approved as commissioners yet.
Okay.
So we were running on, you know, basically two-thirds of a commission.
Okay. So they made the decision to eliminate the dog hunts, which, if you've never been a hog hunter, that's, you know, and there's a lot of controversy in some circles about whether dog hunts or whatever. That's the only way I've ever hunted hogs, and I've hunted them up in the Teleco area. But I mean, it's a tradition in Tennessee. I mean, these are not, you know, these are high end, high quality tracking dogs and hunting dogs, and so they've done away with that. You still have the opportunity if you're drawn for a deer hunt, you can still take a hog if you see one. But I mean, as people know that hunt them, they're nocturnal. You don't see that many anyway.
Correct. And one thing to keep in mind is this issue doesn't just apply to Catoosa.
Right.
Basically, what they've done is they've made it illegal everywhere in the state to hunt them, except for landowners are able to kill them on their properties, and landowners are able to apply for an eradication permit, which will allow them to name 10 people to be able to hunt them on their property.
Okay.
You know, and this is a huge issue for a lot of lease owners. Just as an example, right here in Putnam County, there's one lease that I know of that has 4,000 acres. They have about 30 members. Actually, it's almost 40. They have 30 active members right now.
Okay.
And only 10 of those members would be able to kill hogs should they happen to see one. And there are plenty of hogs on this property.
Sure.
So they're going to have, you know, basically three-fourths of their hunters are going to be out in the woods, and should they happen to see a boar, they're not even going to be able to shoot it. They're just going to have to let it walk by.
That just seems like such a huge departure from what would be expected to me.
Right, it is, and it's a completely unorthodox and actually a completely unproven method. As a matter of fact, it's been proven not to work.
Okay.
In that, in Kansas, they did the same thing. They made it illegal to hunt feral hogs, and at the time they did that, there was an approximate population of 200 wild hogs in the entire state of Kansas. So pretty much anybody here who is able to think for themselves can see that when you're modeling a plan like this on a state that has an entire state's population of 200, and you're taking that and you're applying it to a state where we have counties with larger populations than that, that it's not necessarily going to work. And they admit that it might not necessarily work. You know, another thing to keep in mind here is that Kansas, that in Kansas, it's costing the taxpayers over $400,000 a year to fund their program.
So now let me get this straight. They've made it illegal to hunt, but they're bringing in people to, or whatever their method they're using to kill the hogs. So they won't let them be hunted, but they're paying somebody to kill them. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yes, and that's one of the major things that's ruffling my feathers is
sure.
That, you know, the while they won't allow us, you know, the general public to kill them, they will gladly pay government employees to do it for you. You know, and in some cases, and it's actually happened here in Tennessee, they're paying about $8,000 per day to have a USDA helicopter come in, and they're having guys shoot them from a helicopter.
No.
You know, and
do you have,
there's two issues here for
yeah.
me, if you don't.
Sure.
If you got, give me just 1 second here.
Oh, yeah.
The area that I hunt primarily, they contacted landowners. You know, they can't just go over somebody's land and shoot them, but they did contact landowners in the area, get permission to hunt or get permission to shoot them from a helicopter. They came in, and they say they killed 40 hogs in this one area from a helicopter.
Okay.
But then they also claim in that same sentence that they injured 50 more that they thought were going to die. I don't. To me, that is stomach churning to know that, you know, they are proud of wounding 50 animals that they left out in the woods to suffer. You know, as a hunter, I take pride in, you know, almost always having a one shot, one kill.
Sure.
You know, and the few times that I have wounded an animal and didn't find it, I mean, I've been just sick to my stomach.
As most true hunters did
in one day more damage to animals and left them roaming in the woods injured than I've known about in my entire 30-year hunting career here in Tennessee.
Well, and
I mean, it's just... Sorry, go ahead.
No, and Todd, I mean, there's nothing meaner than a wounded animal. I mean, you
exactly.
know, you're talking about a bear, you're talking about a hog, and hogs can be pretty vicious little animals. And you're talking about wounding one, then now you've got people wandering around in the woods properly out in public areas, and you've got injured animals out there. That's kind of not good either.
That's correct. You know, one of the only times, I mean, I've been hunting hogs for 12 years pretty heavily. And one of the only times you know, you hear a lot of these stories about being charged and you know, attacked and all those things. But one of the only times you're ever going to get charged by a hog, unless you're up on them with the dogs, is if it's wounded.
Sure.
You know, so, you know, it's kind of mind-boggling to me that we're paying, you know, somebody $8,000 a day to fly around in a helicopter and shoot them. Now, don't get me wrong, I wish I was that person that was getting paid.
Sure.
But to pay a government agency to do that and them just leave this huge amount of carnage in their wake is just unbelievable to me.
Todd, I'm going to get you to hold on because I'm definitely not through with this, if you don't mind. And let me pay a few bills, and as soon as we come back, we're going to continue discussing this up at Catoosa.
Be glad to do it, Tony.
Thank you, Todd. Tony Sanders Outdoors, we will be right back. We're talking hog eradication by TWRA, a complete shift in the management of the hogs in the Catoosa Wildlife Management Area. As soon as we come back, we'll be continuing that discussion.
Tony Sanders Outdoors, 267-1023. If you want to be a part of the conversation this morning about hog hunts that have been historically held at Catoosa for decades, it's closed right now. Not doing any hog hunts. And Todd, good morning to you, and appreciate you hanging on during the break. Now, what's the outcome?
I'm sorry.
Okay. What's the outcome? What can be the outcome of this?
Well, from what I'm seeing right now is we're actually outside of Catoosa. We're actually seeing an increase in the hog population. You know, not a lot of people hunt during the summer months anyway, so we really won't know for maybe even a year or two what's really going to happen. But the outcome on Catoosa right now is that hunters are finally starting to figure out what's going on, and what's coming down to the hog wars is that on Catoosa they're experiencing some vandalism to TWRA vehicles. Spikes have been driven in the road, apparently near these trapping sites. Large nails, tires have been cut, and so forth. One thing I would like to say here is that even though I'm in complete opposition to what the TWRA is trying to do, I am even more in opposition to what's happening. You know, I guess first thing I should say is that there's no proof that it's actually hog hunters that are doing this. Nobody's been caught. Nobody's taken responsibility for what's happening. But it appears that it is hunters, and I use that term loosely to describe
right.
these folks, that are doing this. What I find kind of irritating about it is that you know, you mentioned there were three articles about this. Well, only one of them actually appeared before that commission meeting, but there were actually only two of us at the meeting in opposition to these regulations. There was one hound hunter there who was against the closing of the dog hunt, and of course he was against the closing of the season overall, I guess,
sure.
But I was the only one speaking out against closing the season overall.
Go ahead.
No. Well, what I was going to say was, is these people that are causing this damage, had they simply picked up the telephone, called their wildlife commissioner, and voiced an opposition, it would have and could have had a real effect on the outcome here.
Sure.
And people didn't do it. You know, apparently it's easier to go out and vandalize a state-owned truck, which, by the way, apparently they don't know they actually own these trucks. So as they're hurting the TWRA, they're only hurting themselves in the long run.
Yeah, and we get into this a lot. It's not the wildlife officers on the ground that they're enforcing the rules that they've been told to do. I mean, this is happening at the management level and the commission level. And I think a lot of times, no matter what's going on, we want to blame our friends that we see out in the woods all the time, the officers, and it's not them. This is at a higher level than that.
You're exactly right. I mean, the people that are the way I understand it, one TWRA employee actually stepped on one of these spikes and was slightly injured from what I know.
Sure.
You know, this guy had nothing to do with it. He's just doing the job he's paid to do.
Exactly.
You know, the real people behind this are again, it's Daryl Ratajczak, who was until recently a wildlife biologist. Now he's taken on another role at the TWRA. And ultimately it falls to Mr. Carter, you know, the head of the TWRA.
Yes.
You know, the bad thing about these spikes and these people who aren't thinking their actions through is that, you know, I take my kids hiking there. We hike there, we fish there, and we hunt there. So, I mean, this, they could have just as easily injured a kid or me or just some other hunter.
Sure.
Or even a horseback rider as they could a TWRA agent.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and I knew that your position was what they're doing is uncalled for, and I hope whoever it is, and I'm like you, I hate to label that as a hunter, but I hope whoever's doing it gets caught and gets fined and gets the maximum punishment possible, because this isn't the way to handle it. The way to handle it was like you did. Go to the commission meeting, do like we're doing now, talk about it on the air, get people involved and call in their commissioners. But I don't know. I'm still confused on what they're trying to accomplish. For years they promoted it, and now they're wanting to shut it down. I don't understand that. That's what's got me. I just don't understand it. I mean,
well, you're right, and I mean it is confusing, and I understand what their goal is. I agree that it would be nice if they were eradicated. You know, for the most part, I enjoy as much as I enjoy hunting them. They're pretty rough on the environment. But you know, this same type of action isn't limited to just wild boar. I mean, this is, I mean, you hate to say it, but it's almost a money racket for the state. I mean, they're actually doing the same. They do the same thing with rainbow trout, as an example. In the Smoky Mountains, the state and the federal government would take rainbow trout. They release them into the Smoky Mountains for people to fish. Well, now after they've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars releasing these rainbow trout into the Smoky Mountains, which, by the way, is also like a wild boar. It's a non-native, non-indigenous species that preys on native species. So after they released these animals, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars doing that, now, like with the trout, they've turned around in the Smokies and they say, well, we don't want to do that anymore. We want to eradicate the rainbow trout from the Smokies and then reintroduce this other species of trout that is native, you know, the brook trout. So, you know, it's just this vicious cycle of introducing a non-native species, getting paid to do that, then eradicating that species and getting to do that, then going out and reintroducing a native species and getting to do that. I mean, it's just this, it's just a vicious cycle of getting the taxpayers to pay for their science experiments gone wild, you know.
Sure.
And don't take this in the wrong way. I mean, I appreciate what their overall goal is, you know, to help us as sportsmen have fish to fish for and animals to hunt for, but you know, at some point you got to make up your dang mind, stop wasting our money, and let, you know, if you want to eradicate something, allow us to be part of that process rather than you know, government employees getting paid to do it, allow us to pay you to help eradicate them.
Sure. All right, Todd, I'm going to bring on a caller that's called in, and he wants to get in on this. Let's talk to Sonny. Hey, Sonny, how are you? You're on the air with us.
I'm doing real good this morning, Tony. I'm headed to West Tennessee to the duck blind drawings at Big Sandy.
Right. Good luck. Good luck to you.
I appreciate all that. I wanted to ask Todd how many people... he said there were two people at the meeting who were in opposition to this. How many people were for it?
None.
So there were nobody there supporting the regulation, but only and two of you opposing it.
Exactly.
Okay,
zero people were in support of the regulation, and the only person that spoke out for it was Daryl Ratajak with the TWRA.
Okay, that's what I was curious about, because I guess it was a couple of years ago when they instituted the computer draw for the duck blind drawings in East Tennessee. It was overwhelming people against it, and the commission jammed it down our throats anyway, and it sounded very familiar to me, but I was just curious about the commission and their being appointed instead of being elected. It feels like you know, when they go against the will of the people who they're supposed to be serving, I don't feel like we're being served properly.
Sure, Sonny, and I know there's a lot of people.
100%, Sonny, and you know, most of the commissioners were completely, I don't want to say ignorant, but they were not. None of them have hog hunted, you know, in Tennessee. None of them. I won't say none of them. I'll say most of them aren't actually even hunters, per se. You know, they might have turkey hunted or rabbit hunted or something when they were kids. Several of them are fishermen, but, you know, most of them aren't the people that I would like to see there. I mean, I'm sure they're great folks, you know, when they're at home, but they aren't the thinking-type minds that should actually be sitting on a commission like this.
Well, I remember when the duck blind drawings happened in East Tennessee, there was a whole lot of people that wrote emails and called the commissioners. I did both. I called and emailed every commissioner in the state and the governor's office. And when we got there, expected to hear somewhat of a different tone, but every proposition that we brought up to them, they told them, well, no, that's not what we've decided to do. And moved on to the next person and the next question, and that was their answer the whole time we were there. And I was just curious, does anybody have any idea what we could do to change this form of representation, and where we could elect the commissioners instead of having them appointed by somebody?
Sonny, I don't, and unfortunately, I'm not going to have time to get into that one. But let me tell you, we are going to get into that, because it seems to be where there seems to be the most controversy is at the TWRC level. So
yeah, well,
I'm definitely going to get into
that. I appreciate the TWRA wholeheartedly. I'm wearing my TWRF hat, Tennessee
right.
Wildlife Resource Foundation, on my head right now on the way to the duck blind drawings, and I support those guys, but it seems like the biggest problem keeps coming from the commissioners that are tucked away somewhere that are either not hunters, not familiar with hunting, not familiar with the situation of the people that they're serving and the people that they're harming. I mean, you know, it's absolutely broken my heart what they've done to the duck blind drawings in East Tennessee, and has totally changed my life. But
sure.
Anyway, enough of whining on that, and I'm going to get off here and let you guys keep talking. I'm out of the listening area, so I can't hear you anymore.
Okay.
But I appreciate you guys talking about all this and all that you do for us.
Thank you so much, Sonny. I appreciate
it. Good talking to you, Sonny.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Todd, we're about out of time here. What's the next step for you?
Well, people need to be calling the commissioners still. I don't have a current article up, but I'd like to put in a little plug for myself. If you go
sure.
to southeasternoutdoors.com, I'm working on an article as we speak, but there is an article on the front page with the current commissioners' phone numbers. We need to be calling these guys. We need to be calling the governor's office. You know, honestly, I don't want to see anybody out of a job, but the only way things are going to change is if you change the management at the TWRA. So, you know, it's time that we start asking for that to happen.
Todd, I appreciate it, and I tell you what I'm going to do. Next week I'm going to give you a call, and we're going to circle back on this and talk about this some more, and maybe even get you to call back in, if you will, and continue this conversation.
Absolutely.
Todd, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you for having me, Sonny, and thanks for bringing this to the light.
All right, thank you. Todd Ratterman from the Crossville area. Mikey will get you as soon as we come back from this break. Tony Sanders Outdoors.
Tony Sanders Outdoors. You can still give us a call, 267-1023.
Good music, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Hang ten.
All right, we're got Mikey on the phone. Hey, Mikey, how you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Good to hear from you. I'm glad to know you're still around.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm getting ready to get back in the water.
Okay. Unfortunately.
Hey, I got a quick question.
Yeah.
I was going to ask Todd. I have heard through the grapevine that they're going to close the hatchery at Teleco, and when he had mentioned that about the rainbow trout, that kind of caught my ear.
Have you heard anything of that? I've heard that also, Mike, and have not confirmed that. I heard that about a week ago, and started trying to pursue it. But with all the stuff that's going on at Catoosa, it's amazing how quiet it is coming out of the Crossville and Nashville areas. It's hard to get anything right now.
I understand. That's going to upset a lot of people.
You're not kidding. And I heard they were going, and I forgot what their reasoning was, other than money.
I hadn't heard a reason, and when he said they were trying to do away with the rainbow trout because it was not native to this area.
Right.
It caught my ear.
Sure, I understand. Well, I'm working on that one as well.
Okay.
Hey, finally, something to do in the summertime. Controversy.
There you go.
Mike, thank you so much. All right, man, burnt the first hour. Tony Sanders Outdoors. We will be back in about 7 minutes.